7 minutes past seven on Pippa and Jimmy with Mike filling in on Hit 93.5. All thanks to Macca's. Grab a delicious McFlurry for just $2 at Macca's for a limited time.
And right now we're doing Old School Tunes Day.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so.
Proving a bit hard there.
Yeah, we kind of got distracted by the tunes.
Outcast's beloved hit Hey Ya is our old school tune for today.
And what a tune. Like, if there was a word to describe Outcast's Hey Ya, tune.
Exactly. And even though it's a bit of an oldie, it has remained as infectious as ever. Mm. I mean, shake it like a Polaroid picture.
I still say that quite
a lot. Who doesn't know that? Exactly. Mm-hmm. So fun facts about this tune, Hey Ya was originally titled Thank God for Mum and Dad.
Oh, see, yeah, I remember in the lyrics, I hear about talking about Mum and Dad.
Yeah. So Andre 3000 said the song went through several working titles and that was one of them. And this song is actually the oldest song on their whole album. Oh. Now, you got to remember those fetching Amazing Green Pants from the video clip. Andre 3000 actually designed them himself.
Oh, he's a bit of a designer.
Yeah, so he designed them before he had his own label, Benjamin Bixby. So he said, I used fabric I found in my hometown. I got a seamstress to sew them up for me. And then the year the single came out, I started to see more and more people, more and more green in people's collections.
Oh.
I don't know if there's such a thing called a royal green, but that's what I like to call it. So he was definitely inspired by the Ramones, the Buzzcocks and the Smiths while making the video clip. And did you know that this was the first song ever to reach 1 million paid downloads?
Wow.
So in iTunes' first ever year of existence, this was the most downloaded song.
And this came out in about 2003.
Yep, it did.
So, that was right when, digital, that was really picking up back then.
Exactly.
Yeah, pioneering song.
Absolutely. And since its release in 2003, it has continued to remain a bit of a viral song. So many people have done covers of it, including The Vampire Weekend. And this song made Rolling Stone's list of greatest songs of all time.
Wow. That's
what
impressive.
A tune. But for what it's worth, you're not actually supposed to shake Polaroid pictures.
No, you're not. I learned that. I only learned that after I listened to that song, thinking that's what you had to do. And then, like, I think Polaroid came out not long after, and we're like, maybe
guys,
don't do that.
Don't shake the pictures.
It might distort the image.
Yeah, exactly. That's your old school tunes day. We've got Dee McCarthy coming up next.
But it's Mumford and Sons' Little Lion Man on Hit 93.5. Good morning.
He's from Scoopla HQ. He's live. He's here. It is Mr. Dee McCarthy. Good morning.
G'day, guys. Good morning.
Dean, the Harvey Weinstein saga continues with people coming out with crazy confessions. Who's come out now?
The latest is Matt Damon. So today he did an interview with Good Morning America, along with George Clooney, actually, and they discussed this huge Hollywood scandal. Apparently, Matt Damon knew all along. Essentially, this is what happened. When Harvey Weinstein allegedly assaulted Gwyneth Paltrow, Ben Affleck soon dated her not long after she broke up with Brad Pitt. And Ben Affleck and Matt Damon knew about this all along. They still continued to work with the Hollywood producer. They didn't cut ties from him. And basically, what they're saying now is Matt Damon said, everyone kind of knew that this guy was a creepo. And his exact words were, just 5 minutes with the guy and you would know that he's a bullet. So all the people in Hollywood coming out saying, oh, I knew nothing. Oh, I had no idea. It's BS, basically. They all knew he was a creepo and they all knew what he was like.
Wow, unbelievable. Mm. It's fascinating that all of these people have managed to stay quiet for so long, but can't wait for you to keep us updated on that. To some Sex and the City news now. Kim Cattrall has come out and she has not held back with the claws.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so here's what's happened. So everyone's talking about Sex and the City at the moment because the third movie got axed at the last minute because of Kim Cattrall. Anyway, she's now come out saying this. Apparently, she was never friends with any of them all along. So when you watch the show and watch the movies and they're so tight and they're BFFs, that is just all acting. They are actually not good friends in real life. I think that's pretty shady. And she also said this TV show is the reason she never got pregnant because she was so busy working on the show. So she's kind of thrown everyone under the bus.
Oh, playing the blame game. Poor me. I had to wear all of those clothes and all those fabulous shoes. Blah, blah, blah. My life's so hard.
Yeah, I'm not feeling sorry for her either.
Exactly. Dean McCarthy, thank you so much for joining us this morning with all the goss from Scoople HQ. Can't wait to talk to you again soon.
So again, bye guys.
It's brand new from Pink. It's called Beautiful Trauma off her new album, Beautiful Trauma, on Hit 93.5.
Title track.
Yeah, Pippa and Jimmy with Mike filling in. All thanks to Macca's. Get stuck into Macca's new, thicker, juicier, 100% Angus beef in the Gourmet Creations range. Available after 10:30 a.m. Pippa, are you nervous?
Yes, I don't like this time of day.
I know, it's exam time. No one's looking forward to it. Yeah, everyone going through the HSCs at the moment.
Love you guys.
We feel you, we've been there. And we're revisiting.
We are. We're being there with you every day because we are being tested.
Yeah, and so Pippa, your subject today. Now, I'm gonna give you a choice, all right?
Oh, that's kind of you.
Because there are two major exams happening today.
Okay.
There's ancient history.
Ugh.
Or there is beginner's Italian.
Oh, Olay. Wait, no, that's Spanish.
That's definitely. I don't know if you want it's beginner's Italian.
Mi scusi, that's Italian.
That's a bit bad.
Okay, we're on that. You're right.
All right, so let's. How about we flip a coin? All right, I think that's the only fairest way.
Okay, we can flip a coin.
So, what would you like? What would you prefer?
Oh, ancient history is so boring.
It is.
I'm just thinking Italian.
Italian.
You could test me on pizza toppings, you know, famous Italians. Yeah, let's go Italian.
Italian?
Okay, all right.
So shall we go heads for Italian?
Heads for Italian. Here we go.
Okay, flipping. It's rolled away. Hold on. It's heads for Italian.
Yes! Okay, all right. Name a pizza topping. Pepperoni. Name a pasta. Spaghetti. Name a famous Italian. Joey Tribbiani. Name a curse word.
One.
Oh, famous fictional, whatever. Name an Italian curse word. Farfanapoli.
Okay, that is not on the test.
I've already passed the exam. Woo!
I'm going to give you your questions next after Fall Out Boy. Get studying, Pippa. Fall Out Boy, thanks for the memories on Hit 93.5.
Bolognese.
Yes.
Macaroni.
17 minutes to 8 on Pippa and Jimmy with Mike filling in.
Fettuccine, you have two T's or one?
Pippa is in the middle of studying for her beginner's Italian exam that I'm about to put her through right now. Now, Pippa, how confident are you feeling?
I love pasta.
Okay.
I really like gelato.
Okay.
I've watched a lot of Friends, so I know all of Joey Tribbiani's catchphrases.
Great.
So, yeah.
So you're feeling okay.
Also, when in Rome.
True. Now these questions, these are easy. Now, in fairness, yesterday when you tested me on maths, which is hard.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in fairness, you did give me a fifth grade equivalent of a maths exam.
I'm kind and gracious, not like Jimmy, who is mean and nasty and gives you the world's hardest questions and tricks you and then glorifies your failure.
Well, you asked me questions for a fifth grader and I still failed.
That's okay. I'm not judging you because I probably would have as well.
Excellent. Now, these questions, we're doing a beginner's Italian exam.
Okay.
Now, this is going to be hopefully quite easy. I would like to do the same gratitude for you.
See, we're nice to each other, Mike. We're the nice ones.
We are the nice ones. But so I've got here, I've got some basic expressions.
Okay.
Really basic expressions. I'm going to say what it is in Italian.
Right.
And you have to give me what the English translation is.
Okay.
So, for example, we'll do one that you know. For example, scusi.
Mi scusi means excuse me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's how you're going to answer.
Pardon me, if you want to be more polite. Yep.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
Let's kick it off.
Okay.
Okay, what in English, por favor?
Oh, that would be please.
Correct.
Yes!
Correct.
I'm so bilingual right now.
Correcto mundo. So, question number two.
Okay.
This, if you get this, you're going to pass.
Oh, my gosh.
Already.
I haven't passed any of my HSC exams yet, so I'm really excited.
All right. Number two. Buongiorno.
Oh, buongiorno. Buongiorno. It's,
come on.
It's like a little bit like French, like bonjour. Buongiorno. Is that hello?
No, sorry. The answer is good day.
Oh, good day. That's kind of like hello.
Yeah, but no.
Buongiorno. Good day.
It's good day. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. Well, can I have half a point?
No, that's not how it works. Hey, you still got one more shot.
Okay.
So let's do the one. I reckon you might get this one.
I hope so.
Okay, here it is. Because I have to say it in Italian. And I never studied Italian. Thankfully,
right.
They've given me in phonetic language. So it is... Parlan inglese.
Hi, my name is Enrique Iglesias.
No. When is that ever a basic expression?
When Enrique is talking and introducing himself in Italian, that would be a basic expression.
That is, do you speak English?
How do you say it again?
Parla inglese.
Parla inglese?
Yeah, parla inglese.
To me, it still sounds a lot like Enrique Iglesias.
Look, it does, but I don't know how basic. I'm sorry, but that's one out of three.
Well, look, that's usually what I'm getting in these HSC test results. So luckily I can still hopefully make a career in an English-speaking radio job. He is one of Australia's most respected journalists. His credits include This Is Your Life, A Current Affair, Nine News, Sunday Night, and he's returning to our screens to host Lawless, The Real Bushrangers, which kicks off tonight on the History Channel. Mike Munro, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Pippa. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Mike, meet Mike.
Mike, great name, great name.
Do people ever call you Mike or Mike?
Always. No one who knows me well, like really close people, no one calls me Mike.
That's so funny because it's the same for our Michael here, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, I only became Mike when I moved here.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I became Mike on 60 Minutes when Gerald Stone said, oh, you know, you really are you're more a Mike than a Michael.
Similar conversation I have with my content director, yeah.
Mike, we are stoked to have you on the show to talk about Lawless. Tell us, there's a lot being kind of publicised about bushrangers, but you've taken quite a different angle with this show.
You're right, Pippa. It's very, very different. People have said, oh, you're not glorifying them again, are you? No, we're not. Once the Ned Kelly episode goes to air tonight, people will see that it's a very different Ned Kelly that we're introducing, number one. Mm. Really, if Ned Kelly was around today, there is no doubt in my mind that we would not be calling him an iconic legend. We'd be calling him a terrorist.
Wow.
Ambushed and murdered three policemen off the top, and then went on the run for 18 months. And leading up to Glen Rowan, he had removed train tracks off a rail line on a bend over a ravine to put that train with 24 people on board, police, journalists and civilians, into that ravine. So he would have been the number two mass murderer behind Martin Bryant from Port Arthur had the police not been tipped off. And we also, in the four series, Ben Hall, Captain Moonlight and my relatives, the last bushrangers, the Kenniffs, we use a fantastic team of an archaeologist, a forensic pathologist and a colonial historian. And we basically go digging at Ned Kelly, Ben Hall and Captain Moonlight sites to find artifacts, to find slugs, fireplaces, farmhouses. In fact, tonight, people will see that we have discovered a site, a Ned Kelly site, that historians have been looking for 140 years. We find it.
Really? Wow. Yep. Unbelievable. Mm. So fascinating that the response that you got originally was, oh, you're not glorifying them again, because I think, and particularly growing up in schools in Australia, you think of bushrangers, you do think of these glorified legends and even how we're educated about who these people are. Often, you know, they're painted as heroes.
Well, that's right. And look, and these four docos alone, these four groups of bushrangers killed seven policemen alone. Total.
Wow.
Apart from other people, you know, the Glen Rowan Seeds, it was a 10-year-old boy died from police guns. But nevertheless, Ned Kelly had them holed up in the Ann Jones Inn, and he not, this little boy would have survived. And another man was killed. So there's a lot of collateral damage along the way. You know, Ben Hall was often called the gentleman bushranger, but he wasn't. He robbed women. They didn't really help the poor landowners. They didn't give, you know, they were not Robin Hood heroes, these guys. They were out after their own means. And I think basically back then it was mainly the Irish against the British establishment. So I'm Irish ancestry, I had a lot of sympathy for Ned Kelly, but I certainly don't anymore, because going right into the research, they were not nice people and they were not good to the locals.
Because you've actually got a personal connection, Mike, with some of these people's stories. When did you uncover that, and how did you sort of respond?
Yeah, look, well, I had two great uncles who killed a policeman and a station manager in 1902 in the Carnarvon Ranges around Roma, Mitchell, Toowoomba way. And they were horse cattle thieves initially. They were stealing so much cattle, the cattle barons got together with the authorities and said, we've got to stop Patrick and Jimmy Kenneth, K-E-N-N-I-F-F. And I've wanted to tell their story ever since my dying father told me when I was in my early 30s that our name was not Munro. My name's not Munro. I had a great-grandfather who was also called Patrick Kenneth, and he was so ashamed that he had a cousin, Patrick Kenneth, who was hanged in Boggo Road Jail for these murders, that he changed his name illegally overnight from Patrick Kenneth to Henry Munro. Why he chose Henry Munro, I'll never know. He and his wife had five children, all of whom were illegally Munro most of their lives until he died and a death certificate was issued in the name of Munro and they all became legally Munro. And I never found this out until my father was dying. It was such a shameful secret for 80 years. And by then I was working for 60 Minutes. I was travelling through Ireland quite a bit doing stories on the IRA and I was able to go to Trinity College and their fabulous genealogy department where I started to research the Kuniffs. So even when they came to Australia from Tipperary, their name was bastardised from Kuniff, C-U-N-N, to K-E-N-N because they couldn't read and write. And I've been wanting to tell their story for 25 years. And they are the last bushrangers in Australian history, which makes them all the more interesting.
That's wow. That's incredible. How did you feel hearing that, knowing, like finding out that your name was...
I got goosebumps when you told us that, Mike, because it's like your entire identity would have felt like it was something that it wasn't, almost.
Look, it was initially at the time. You're right. I mean, But I think more the journalist in me, Pippa, sort of said, wow, what a story. Mm. I was sort of more excited about the story than consumed with who I was or what I was because, sure. You realise you can't do anything about it. It is part of colonial history. Certainly sorry that the policeman and the station manager were killed. But I just wanted to tell their story because they were the last bushrangers because Patrick, the older brother, was hanged in 1903. The other one, the younger brother, was due to hang, but he was commuted to life imprisonment. He got out after about 16 years and became a penniless prospector around Charters Towers and Mount Isa, but didn't die until 1941. He's buried in Charters Towers Cemetery in 1941. So that certainly makes him the very last bushranger. I challenge anyone to find a bushranger still alive during World War II.
This is an incredible story, Mike, and we cannot wait to see you host it. Lawless, the real Bushrangers, kicks off tonight at 8:30 on the History Channel. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
Pippa, Mike, thank you for your support.